Hallelujah. I've learned to depend upon His Word. You know what beautiful song that is? You know, through everything, we've learned to trust in Jesus. Doesn't matter what the problem is. Doesn't matter what the difficulty is. We've got a Redeemer. Hallelujah. One who will bring us through.
Yeah, that's right.
Hallelujah. You know, I want to share tonight a word that's been on my heart for a number of years. You know, it's a scripture I often turn back to myself and look at. And I want you to turn, if you've got Bibles, to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. This is the account of the 12 spies that Moses sent into Canaan.
Yeah.
And I don't want to read the whole chapter, because really what I want to share on tonight covers nearly two chapters. But I just want to pick out some scriptures that we read in the scriptures. So if we can just read together from verse 17. Numbers 13 verse 17 says this: "Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said to them, 'Go up this way into the south, and go up to the mountains, and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are forests there or not. Be of good courage, and bring some of the fruit of the land.' Now the time was the season for the first ripe grapes. So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob, near the entrance of Hamath." And we'll stop there for the time being. You know, there we see an instruction by Moses, the man of God, this pastor of what was the greatest congregation of all time, a man who was, he was leader of God's people, but he had the worst congregation that any church pastor could ever wish for. They grumbled, they complained, they rebelled, and I'm sure if these people were in the churches today, they'd be put out. Because they didn't toe the line. And Moses, when it was getting close to they'd come out of Egypt, they'd come through the Red Sea, they had a mighty victory there. You know, they'd spent a few weeks in the wilderness, and they came to the edge of the Promised Land. This is just a few weeks after they left Egypt. They came to this edge of the Promised Land, and Moses said, "Look," he said, "I want you to go into the land and spy it out. You know, we're preparing ourselves to go in and take this land. So go and see what it's like. Go and see what the land holds. Go and look at the cities. Go and look at the people. Go and look at the fruit of the land. Go and see what this beautiful land is that God has promised to bring us into. That God has told us that this is a land that flows with milk and honey. So go and see this beautiful land that God's, and bring back report of what it was like, or what it will be like." And so the 12 spies, they went in, as we read in verse 21, they went up and they spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob, near the entrance of Hamath. It says, and in verse 22, which we didn't read, it says, "Then he went up through the south, they came to Hebron." You know, they are spying out the whole of the territory. They're looking to see this beautiful land that God had promised them. Now don't forget, this was a promise of God to Abraham. God promised Abraham, and you can read this in Genesis 12. He says, "To your descendants I will give this land." And that's where Abraham was when God promised it to him. He says, "To your descendants I will give this land." And it was in that land that Abraham built an altar to the Lord, who had appeared to him. So this was part of the Abrahamic promise that they would enter into this land. Now this promise was given to Abraham somewhere, I'm not exactly too sure of the dates, but it probably be somewhere between 450 to 500 years before Moses is standing on the edge of it. We know they spent 400 or so years in Egypt. So it's somewhere, going to be somewhere around 450 to 500 years before then that Abraham received this promise from God that God would give them this land. And so Moses said, look, he says, this is the land that God's promised to give us. Now go and look and see what it's like. Yeah, bring back report so we can prepare ourselves that we want to go in and attack this land, take possession of it. And you know the story, you know what happened. You know, 10 of those 12 spies, well, all 12 spies saw the same thing. They saw, let's just read what they saw, because verse 26. Let's read verse 25. It says, they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron, and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Now they brought back a large cluster of grapes from the valley of Eshcol. That's in the verses we missed out. And they told them and said, we went to the land where you sent us, and truly it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land in the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. So this is the report. Yes, it's a beautiful land. God's truly blessed this land.
Amen.
It's a land that truly flows with milk and honey. This is the fruit. Oh, can you just picture their faces when they present? You know, you can't pick up a bunch of grapes like that in Tesco's or Asda. If you can, you perhaps wouldn't want to pay the price. But this took two men to carry this bunch of grapes. You know, I said, this is what the land is. It's truly a blessed land. He says, but there's a few problems there. Now, we can overcome a few problems. They've got a few giants in the land. There's this race of people dwelling in the south. There's these races up in the mountains. There's a few others in the north. The cities are strong. They're fortified. And Caleb, verse 30, he said, look, he said, let us go up at once and take possession.
Yes.
Oh, what a spirit this man's got. Let us go up at once and take possession. For we are well able to overcome it. Yeah, there's problems. There's a few fortified cities. There's a few giants. There's a few tribes. There's a few warring people living there. But we are well able to overcome.
Yeah.
God is on our side. We're the redeemed of the Lord.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, they weren't redeemed then, but you know, that's the sort of spirit they've got, that spirit that says, yes, God is on our side. If God is for us, who can be against us? This is the spirit that we should have. Let us go up at once and take possession. This is an overcomer spirit. You know, if there's any problems in the land, it needs someone to overcome. It needs someone to go in and possess. You know, and Caleb was up for the battle. He was up for the fight. But then, 10 of the spies, verse 31, it says this. It says, look, he says, the men who had gone up with him said, look, says, we're not able to go up against the people. They are stronger than we. Listen to what the scripture says about what they said. It says, they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land. The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. You know, I don't know how many of you, I'm sure you'll know of him, because he's a world-famous preacher of the gospel, Bishop Jakes. Bishop T.D. Jakes. You know, I heard him preach once on this thing, so that grasshoppers don't eat grapes. You know, grasshoppers don't eat grapes. You know, they said they were like grasshoppers in their sight, and so we were in theirs. You know, we felt so small when we went into the land. We felt so inadequate when we faced the giants, when we faced the problems. We felt like we were so insignificant. And we can't go in and do it because we're so weak, we're so small, we're not, we don't have all the right equipment, we don't have the right talents and abilities. We'd never get past the first city. They were painting a bad report. But Joshua and Caleb had that overcomer spirit. You know, Joshua and Caleb, they said, yes, we can go in. We can go in and take the land because we've got God on our side. But the 10 said, no, we can't do it. We can't go in and take it. It's too much for us. And Joshua and Caleb are standing on the other side saying, yes, we can do it. And they're saying, no, we can't. They're saying, yes, we can. You see, this will be a heated debate going on for some time. And eventually, the people decided, no, we can't. They listened to the majority, the 10. Now let me tell you tonight, that the majority is not always right. The majority is not always, they tell you, we've got to listen to what the majority of people want. No, the majority is not always right. We've got to listen to what God says. They gave an evil report, the King James says. My Bible, my New King James says a bad report. They gave the children of Israel an evil report of the land. And the people of God chose to believe that report. They chose to believe that look at the land. They didn't listen to Joshua. You know, in chapter 14, chapter 14, verse 6, says Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who'd spied out the land, tore their clothes. They spoke to all the congregation of the land of the children of Israel, saying, "The land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed with them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." Do not fear them. The Lord is with us.
Amen.
God has promised to give us this land. Now, God is either a God of his word or he's not. You know, they had that promise for, as I said, perhaps 500 years that God would bring them into this land. And right on the edge of the land, they stood almost looking into the valleys, looking across into the beautiful land that was flowing with milk and honey. And they say, we can't do it because we're too small. And yet two people said, come on guys, yes we can. God is with us. God's promised to give it to us. And we are well able to go in and overcome. But they listened to the majority. You know, and that majority vote, that decision they took, cost them their blessing. Well, it cost the whole generation except for two people. Do you know who those two people were? Hey, you don't have to guess, do you? Joshua and Caleb. The two that stood up and said, yes, we believe what God has said. You know, I haven't got time tonight to do a study on Caleb, but Caleb, he still had that same spirit. 40 years later.
Yeah, that's right.
Give me this mountain. I'm going in to take this land.
Yeah.
They'd already got into the land then. He said, look, he said, give it to me. He says, I'm as strong today as I was when I went and spied out the land. That's the spirit that we need to have. That's the spirit that the church should have today.
Right.
Yes, we are well able. You know, it wasn't too good for Joshua and Caleb. Because they made that stand. They stood on what God had said. They received that. They heard that instruction from God. Yes, we can go in and take the land. You know, and they stood on that promise that God was with them. You know, and the people didn't like it because it goes on to say in verse 10 of Numbers 14, it says that they took up stones to stone them. You know, when you make a stand for God, it's not always going to be popular.
Yes.
You're going to get some tribulation, some persecution. And I'm sad to say this, but it's not going to come from the people outside. It's going to come from the people within.
Yes.
Because they don't understand. They won't understand where you're standing from, where you're coming from. You know, it was the people of God that wanted to stone them with stones. You know, there's another man in the Bible. His name was Noah. It was another man that heard God speak to him. Another man who heard the promise of God. And God spoke to Noah and told, I want you to build me an ark for the saving of your house. You know, look, he says, it's coming a day, he says, I'm going to flood the world. I'm going to wipe out this generation of people. He said, I want you to build, and he gave him specific instructions for the building of that ark, right down to the last millimeter, to construct it. And they told him what wood to use, told him how to build it. And then he gave him instructions for to bring in the animals. You know, the Bible tells us that he was preparing that ark for 100 years. Building it. You know, and all that time, how many people stood here and said, hey Noah, what are you doing? You're mad. You say it's going to rain, it's not rained here in X number of years. Can you remember the last time it rained? And he says, but God said, I've got to do this because he's going to flood the earth. Ah, get away with it, Noah. You know, they're going to carry you off in white coats. And men with white coats are coming. You know the sort of things people would say today. You know, you've been out on the streets. You know what it's like when you're witnessing on the streets and in the marketplaces. They're like, oh, you're mad, you're crazy. You know, they would have said the same thing to Noah. They didn't understand him. They didn't understand that he'd heard from God. He'd had a word from God. He'd heard a good report. And he acted upon it. Let me take you to another person in the scriptures. Come with me to Luke's Gospel chapter 1. No, I know it's June. I've not got my months mixed up. Verse 26, Luke 1:26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb, and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. And will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end.
Amen.
There Mary received a report from God that she was going to conceive and give birth to a son. Now this was, in all natural circumstances, an impossible situation. She wasn't married. She says that, she says, look, how can this be? Since I do not know a man. Yes, she wasn't really questioning God on that. It might look like that when you read, saying, well, how can this be? It's not really questioning, it's not questioning God's ability to do it. She just went, well, she only knew the natural processes. She says, well, she says, I'm not in the place. I'm not in the right place to do that. But then God spoke on. The angel carried on to speak and said, look, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One is to be born will be called the Son of God. And then he gives us some encouragement. That's what I like about God. When he gives you a report, he gives you a little bit of encouragement with it as well. He says, look at Elizabeth, your relative. She's also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now her sixth month. For a woman that was known to be barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Now that's the words that Caleb and Joshua heard. You know, with God, nothing will be impossible. You know, we can go in and overcome. We can go in and take these giants out. We can go and take the mountains. We can go and take the valleys. We can go and harvest the fruit. You know, we are well able to overcome. You know, with God, nothing will be impossible. And then Mary, she says in verse 38, says, look, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Now, I've gone through that whole account to bring you to the next verse, which is verse 45, because she goes to see Elizabeth, her relative. And she greets Elizabeth, and, you know, if you get down the page, Elizabeth says to her, look, blessed is she who believed. For there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. You know, when God says something, there is always going to be a fulfillment. There has to be a fulfillment when God speaks. Because the scripture tells us this. It says that God is not a man that he can lie. That doesn't mean that God cannot lie. It means he cannot lie. We can, but he cannot. If you think about it, every word that God speaks is truth.
Amen.
So if we're sitting in this place tonight, you know, and God spoke and said that today is Sunday. We better alter our clocks because today will be Sunday. Because God cannot lie. Every word he speaks comes to pass. We have to change. God does not lie. His word cannot fail. And there is always, let me read it again, there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. You know, if you've had a promise from God, maybe you've been praying for an unsaved loved one. You know, your son, your daughter, your parents. You've been praying for them. And you've had a promise from God that they will come in. There will be a fulfillment. There has to be a fulfillment.
That's right.
They may not know it yet, but they're coming in.
Amen.
If you've had a promise from God that sickness in your body is going to be healed, you can take it to the bank and you can count upon it that it will come to pass. Because God's word cannot fail. You know, there's a beautiful scripture in the book of Isaiah. I'm sure you know it very well. But God says, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish. It shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. It has to come to pass. You know, God spoke to Abraham all those years ago and said, this land I will give you. Now, the people of God listened to the wrong report. They should have had their minds fixed upon that promise of God. This land I will give you. You know, a question is asked in the Old Testament, and I believe God would ask us of it today. Yeah. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, the question is asked here, who has believed our report?
That's right.
Who has believed our report? You know, it's so easy for us. We believe all sorts of things. We listen to what the telly says and we take it for granted that that's what is gospel. Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. We read the newspapers and we take it that that's what is that's gospel as well. We hear reports from various people. You know, we can listen to the TV tomorrow and listen to the weather report. And, you know, because they tell us that maybe on Thursday it's going to rain. We prepare, we plan all week. Well, we better not go out on that because it's raining on Thursday. We better not go for that picnic we were planning because it's going to rain. We're believing what a man says. We're basing our life upon what these men say. We listen to what the doctor says. Now, we hope he's going to tell us right, but we take it for granted that what he's saying is gospel. We listen to what the solicitors say, what the specialists say. We listen to all these people, and we take it on board, and we soak it all up. But what about what God says? Who has believed our report? The majority is not always right. We saw that in the case of the people of God. You know, I guess that quite a few times in heaven that question is being asked. Well, who's going to believe our report? They're listening to what everything else is going on. But who's going to believe our report? You know, God's looking for a man and a woman who's going to say, yes, I believe what you say. You know, we listen to what these people say. And it's not just those people. We listen to other things. We listen to the situations we're in. We see it getting worse and worse. Oh, we're never going to get out of this. We're never going to make it through. We're never going to get to the end. We're going down. We're going bankrupt. Our bodies tells us every day sometimes, especially if you've got a pain, it tells you, I'm still sick. I'm still sick. God's word's not working. I'm still sick. And the devil's a master at that. That's the first thing he did. You know, he came into the Garden of Eden and he said to Eve, did God really say it? Did God really say it? God has got her to question what God said. And when we get to that point, we better hold on to what God says. Yes, this is what God says. We've got to stand on it like Joshua and Caleb. Now, we might not be popular. We may not be liked. It may get us into seemingly in some trouble. You know, we might fall out with the people in the church because we're prepared to stand on what God says. But I've got to throw this in. I'm going to take this slightly out of context, so you'll have to forgive me. I don't like doing this, but there's a scripture in the book of Ephesians. It's talking about the armour of God in Ephesians 6. And it says this. It says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenlies. Therefore take up the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. What do you do when you've done all to stand? Or you do what the next verse says. The very first word says, stand therefore.
Yeah.
When you're standing, you think you're coming to the end. How long do you keep standing? Well, you keep standing. You keep trusting what God says. You know, we're told in the scriptures, in the book of Philippians, to meditate on the things that are of a good report. Meditate. Let me read the scripture to you. It says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true. Is it true? Well, meditate upon it. Whatever things are noble. Whatever things are just. Whatever things are pure. Whatever things are lovely. Whatever things are of a good report. If there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Consider these things. Do you know we're told not even to consider the bad report? Don't even listen to those that say, well, we can't do this, we can't do that, because the people that say they can't do it will never do anything. We're told not to consider those things, but to listen to what God says. Who has believed our report? That wasn't the end of that verse, because it goes on and says, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?
Yes.
You know, the arm of the Lord, that's always synonymous with His power and His mighty works. You know, throughout the Old Testament, you see that they make reference to His outstretched hand, His mighty arm and His outstretched hand, in bringing their people out of Egypt, the miracles that He did. You know, the good things that God does for us, it's by His outstretched arm. To whom has the arm of the Lord? You know, when you believe the report of the Lord, you will know the arm of the Lord. You'll know His power. You'll know His grace. You'll know His miraculous intervention and His blessing. How do we know that's true? Because it's already been revealed in Jesus. God so loved the world.
Yeah.
We've been singing about it tonight. You know, the cross, our redemption, that shows us the heart of God for us. That if when we were sinners, that God still loved us, was still willing to send Jesus to be our Savior. When we were, as one person put it, when we were unlovely, God loved us. When there was nothing in us that deserved His mercy, God still loved us. And if God can do that for someone that doesn't love Him, for someone that rebels against Him, for someone that hated Him, for someone that cursed Him, how much more for those His children?
Amen.
When we come as the redeemed of the Lord, we can come on that the basis, the ground of the cross. The work that was accomplished at the cross. That sacrifice that was made. You know, the New Covenant tells us that the New Covenant's based on better promises. You know, there were some good things in the Old Testament. There was good things under the Old Covenant. That God says, look, if you do this, you'll be blessed. How much more in the New Covenant? Well, God, does God want to bless us? Does God want to see us overcome? You know, all He's asking for us is that we believe what He says. Who has believed our report? You know, as I said, we can believe other things so easily. You know, we can see a headline on the papers. And we can talk all day that this is, and it can be a complete fabrication. And yet we can go all day long saying this is what happens. Well, it's got to be because the paper said so. I don't know what you gave us. It's in the Mercury around here, is it?
Yeah, that's the Mercury.
The Mercury. You know, you can read something in the Mercury this week, and you know, it can be a total fabrication, yet it can change people's lives because they hook onto it. They believe what it says. You know, we shouldn't just take everything we hear and say, well, this is, it's got to be truth because, listen, if it's in the newspapers, you should steer clear of it anyway. Just because the BBC say something doesn't mean to say that it's right. Just because you hear it on Sky News doesn't mean to say that it's right. Just because the President of the United States might say something doesn't mean to say that he's right. Or David Cameron. What does God say?
Yeah.
You know, I found a piece of paper in the week and I was just reading it, and I'll finish with this. It was a list of questions that John Wesley gave to his followers. I don't suppose it was written down then, but he asked them these questions. He had a series of about 10, 15 questions. One of them is what I hear from God. Is it what God says, or is it just what I think, or what somebody else is saying? And there's a list of questions like this, so that they would live lives holy for the Lord. And it was on about their devotion, about, you know, have they prayed today, have they shared Jesus with somebody? But one of the things is, you know, do I believe what God says? Is it what God is saying to me, or is it what somebody else is reported to have said? Who has believed our report? Who? Ask yourself that question. Have I believed the report? You know, when you hear something, and I'm not trying to knock the specialists and the doctors because they're doing a grand job, but when the doctor says, sorry, there's nothing else we can do. We've gone as far as we can with you, but that's it. Now, is that from God, or is that just his opinion? You say, I want a second opinion. You get a second, and they say, well, sorry, that's it. There's a second opinion.
Amen.
Actually, this is the first opinion.
Amen.
Maybe we should take this first.
That's right.
Yes, I know, doctor, that's what you say, and I appreciate all you've done for me, but this is what God says. Okay, thank you, solicitor. I know you've done your best for me. You've tried, but this is what God has said. This is the report of the Lord. And I believe God would ask us that question tonight. Who has believed? My report. Our report. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.